Welcome to the Anderson Business Advisors Podcast, the nationally recognized preferred provider for asset protection and tax planning in the nation. This show is for real estate investors looking to protect their assets, save on taxes, and build their wealth with Clint Coons. Clint is an attorney, author, avid real estate investor, and featured instructor at Anderson's tax and asset protection events held throughout the country. Enjoy the show.
Welcome, everyone. Hi, it's Clint Coons here with Anderson Business Advisors, and this is another one of our weekly podcast episodes where we're going to be talking about real estate investing today. You all know that I'm an avid real estate investor. I have over 100 properties across the United States, and one of the questions I get all the time from people is, how do you identify the markets you're investing in, Clint? Because this is a question that, you know, if you're getting started in real estate, or maybe you've been an active investor and you've been investing in your local market and you determine now that it's time to branch out and look at other places, well, it can be daunting to do that because there's uncertainty there when it comes to investing. And if you don't know the market or know what to look for, that's going to impact your ability to make money in those markets. So it's really key that we understand this. I've been through problems before with my own investing where I made bad investment decisions and I lost money. I'm not afraid to say it does happen. But if you get the right information, you educate yourself, you're only going to be further ahead in the game when it comes to real estate investing. You'll far surpass those other investors who are competing for those same properties, those same deals, because you know your numbers. You know what to look for. So I thought this would be a great opportunity to introduce one of my good friends, an investor that I've known for several years, Neil Bawa from Grow Capitus. Neil, how's it going today?
Fantastic, Clint. Thanks for having me on the show. I'm very excited to be on.
Neil, I'm so glad that I have you on here. I've been wanting to get you on the show for so long, and I know your schedule is so busy. Everybody wants to talk to you right now, it looks like, when it comes to investing, and it's because you've really honed this in when it comes to looking at markets and real estate. And so, you know, what are some of the things, or actually, before we can go to that, tell us a little bit about your company, how you even got started, because that's a great story there.
Sure. So I'm a technologist, successful technology career, successful technology exit, and I got into real estate in reverse because in 2003, right, that's 16 years ago, my company asked me to build a campus from scratch, and I'd never even built a single family home. And so 10 months of trial by fire and roughly 2 hours of sleep during those 10 months, but I learned an insane amount about real estate, building a 27,000 square foot campus, had to do it 2 years later again, larger campus, this time needed more money, had to actually learn how to bring in investors who happened to be a bunch of rich local doctors in Fremont that really made out because I didn't even know that I was supposed to charge fees for building a, you know, $7 million campus for all these doctors. But I needed to be a tenant and they wanted to be landlords. So we did it. And so that's how the ball got rolling. And then I got addicted to real estate, started buying my own real estate, bought 10 single family homes using data science, which we're going to talk about today in a city called Madera, California. All of those are now at 2.5 times what I paid for them. 10 years later, my rents are twice what I started out with. Then got very cocky and overconfident, went to Chicago, bought 10 triplexes, bombed, lost money. It was a horrible sort of process because I had bought in one of the worst neighborhoods in America. And so that day I said, first, I'm going to learn what truly is the secret sauce of real estate. And then secondly, I'm going to teach it to 10,000 people a year. So this, it took me a long time because that was many, many years ago. But this is the first year that 10,000 people will learn that system. It's an agnostic system for buying, you know, in the best markets in the U.S. and avoiding the worst markets in the U.S.
Yeah, because nobody wants to go through the same thing you went through and I've been through is you make those mistakes along the way. And so now you've refined the system and you know what to look for. So, you know, when you're thinking about buying a piece of property, what are some of the top six things that you would tell people that they need to look out for?
Okay, well, it's a list, you know, exactly like that. The first thing that I want you to do is look at the city level. So you start with the city level and then you drill down to the neighborhood level. At the city level, you want to invest in cities that have population growth. So what are cities that you don't want to invest in because they don't have population growth? Well, St. Louis or Detroit, basically cities that lose population. In the long run, you may buy a home for $100,000 and sell it 10 years later for $120,000, but you just lost money. Because of something known as inflation, the value of the property should go up by 2.5% compounded because of inflation anyway. So if you buy it at 100 and sell it 120 10 years later, you just lost money. And most people don't understand that. The only way to make money in real estate over a long-term hold is that you buy in places where population is growing. And how much? Well, you want about a 1.25% increase in population per year To figure that out, go to Google, type in the name of whatever city you're looking to invest in. For example, if you type in, go into Google, type in population space Detroit, Michigan, you're going to see exactly why you don't want to invest there. But on the other hand, if you type in population space Columbus, Ohio, you're immediately going to see why you should invest in Columbus, Ohio. So the number one thing is population growth drives profit in real estate. That's my first rule. The second rule ties into the first rule, which is income growth. The people that are living there, their income growth basically drives up real estate numbers. How much income growth? Well, you're looking roughly for, I'd say, somewhere in the 1.5% a year in income growth. That's really the minimum number to keep up with inflation and to allow you to keep raising your rents. And where do you get that? You get it at city-data.com. So you go to city-data.com, plug in the name of the city that you're investing in, scroll down just a tad bit, and you'll see median household income. And it'll give you two numbers. It'll give you a current number and an old number. Just look at the two numbers and see if it's growing by about 1.5%. And if it is, then you're in the right city. If it's growing by, let's say, 0.5%, then that city is losing to inflation. And if you invest there, you're going to lose to inflation, right? That's the worst thing that you can do for yourself. Now, in cities where the number is 3%, like Provo, Utah, my favorite market in the US to invest in, or Boise, Idaho, another market above 3%, you're dancing all the way to the bank. You can make all kinds of mistakes, and the city will make up for it because the people there, their income levels are growing so fast that you can screw up and still end up, you know, making 20% annualized returns. So make sure that the income's there. And the third one is home price growth. You want to make sure that the home prices have been growing in the past. This is why I don't invest in some of the Rust Belt markets, even though Columbus, Ohio is a Rust Belt market. I haven't seen enough long-term evidence of home price growth, right? Beyond inflation. I obviously, the first 1.5% is really inflation. I want to see more than that, right? So on that same city data page where you just saw these two numbers for income, right below that, the next line is going to show you home price increases, right? So home and condo value increases. This time, make sure that that number is 2%. So the first number, 1.25% population growth. The second number, 1.5% income growth. The third number, 2% annualized growth in the home prices. And these numbers are piggybacking on each other. Population growth tends to basically drive demand for fixed assets like real estate, which basically means that employers have to fight for employees, which raises incomes, which tends to basically raise home prices. So you've got a 1-2-3 effect going there.
But wow, that's a lot of information to digest what you just said.
Yeah, it's you know what? You go do this in 10, 15 minutes and you've now made yourself an elite investor because this is what people are not looking at. Everybody's looking at the roof. Everybody's looking at the foundation. But what you're charging for the home and your delinquency levels, the cost that you're going to have to bear when you have to evict people, is really based on what is happening outside of this home. It's based on the 1 mile around it and then the 20 miles around it. So 20 miles around is city level and the 1 mile around is neighborhood level. So if you don't look at those three or four basic numbers, you're leaving most of the profit on the table in 2019 when prices are absurdly high. If you don't know this math, you should be afraid of getting into the marketplace because everything is priced for perfection, Clint.
Yeah, okay. So there are those people out there that will say, you know, the appreciation isn't that big a deal as long as you're getting cash flow. And so there's a lot of people who market those cash flow properties and they tell you right up front, you know, don't expect a lot of appreciation over 10 years, but you're going to have great cash flow. So what do you say to somebody like that?
It's nonsense. It's absolute nonsense because what they're doing is selling you a property in a perfect market in 2019. What is going to happen is that's pro forma, right? So what they're saying is you're going to get $1,200 in cash flow. Your expenses are $800. You're going to make $400 a month. Nonsense. That is not going to happen because it'll happen some months out of the year and it won't happen the remaining months. These areas that are not growing at all tend to have a wide variety of problems. Number one, the people there have higher unemployment levels. Number two, those people basically have no savings. So if they lose their job, the only way to get them out is to evict them, right? And a lot of these places have professional tenants that know how to stay in the house for 12 months, not paying rent to you, right?
Yeah.
And so my argument is this, these kinds of properties that are being offered to you, if you buy 10 of them, one will do what they say, right? And two or three will lose money for you, and the rest will not make any money. So the law of averages say that if you buy 10, you can't buy 10 of the first kind. You're going to end up buying a spread. And that's where exactly the problem is. People are not looking at their returns. Are you running a P&L statement every month? Are you actually looking at your real expenses? Are you looking at what the delinquency, the vacancy, and the turns are really costing you? People are not doing that. They don't look at the math. They just look at the pro forma and they buy. That's a way to lose money.
Wow. All right. So we got to take a quick break. And I want to come back from the break. And we want to go into, you know, how you select the markets, because that is, I think, a key. People always want to know, where should I go next? So let's take a quick break and we'll come back right on that question.
Attention all real estate investors, business owners, stock traders, and anyone looking to get out of the rat race for good. We all know time is money, but did you know there's a wealth of resources on how to make more money, keep more money, and protect what you've earned all for free online? Anderson Business Advisors YouTube channel offers free resources on asset protection and tax reduction from lawyers and CPAs designed to help you keep more money in your pocket. To learn how to limit your liability, protect what you've earned, and minimize your tax burden all for free, subscribe to Anderson Business Advisors on YouTube today.
Welcome, everyone, back to the Anderson Business Advisors podcast. I have Neil Bawa here from Grow Capitus, and we've been having this fascinating conversation as to looking at where to find properties across the United States and what you should be doing to run your numbers to make sure you're making the right investment. Now, right before break, we started talking about what are the right markets. That is, how do you select the market? So Neil, tell us again now, you know, if I'm going to go out there and I'm looking for property, you hear a lot of people talk about Kansas City, Memphis, and Indianapolis, but what should you be looking for? I mean, how do you just figure this stuff out? Do you take a dart and throw it at the map and then go and Google that like you told us?
So I'm going to give you the background behind it, but I'm also going to give you a super easy cheating way to look at it. Okay. So one of the key things that people do understand today is if you are tied to data and analytics and logic, it is easier today to succeed in real estate than it has ever been. Okay. And I'll tell you why. So back in the 80s, the sort of data that people were paying $50,000 a year for today is $300-$400 a year, right? So it hasn't dropped to 1%. It's now less than 1%. And it's actually much more accurate and much more up to date. And that data, it will point you in the right direction all the time. So there are two services that I use that I think everyone in the US should use. One of the key messages I want to give everybody is don't go out there and spend $100,000 on buying a property, which is $25,000 of your hard-earned money, without spending $500 to $1,000 on analytics. I am not selling that analytics. So I'm not, you know, connected with these companies in any way. But I'm going to give you two companies that I think are worth the gold. You're going to save money. You're going to save effort. You're going to save time with your family by using these two services. I use them all the time. I use some more expensive services as well because I'm buying $20 million multifamily properties. But when you're buying something much smaller, this is really all you need. One for neighborhoods, one for cities. So the first service that I want you to think about is called localmarketmonitor.com. Localmarketmonitor.com. I'm not affiliated with them. They don't pay me a fee. But what I like is that Ingo Vincer, the CEO at localmarket.com, he comes and teaches on my multifamilyu.com platform every quarter. I adore what he's doing because what he's basically looking at, he's looking at all of the typical factors. Remember I told you population growth, job growth, you know, income growth, and crime rates. He's looking at all of that and he's distilling it down and basically giving you a bunch of cities and saying, this city is very dangerous to invest in right now, whereas this city is okay and this city is just awesome because here in this city, you've still got room to grow. You can grow rents by 25% and you'll still be okay. But in this other city like Denver, Colorado, rents have gone up the most since 2007 that they've gone up for anybody else, and home prices have gone up more. So Denver, Colorado doesn't have any headroom, right? This market, if it's not at its peak, it's got to be super close to its peak. All of that given to you in an easy to understand dashboard for a few $100, and people don't pay for that. And then they wonder, you know, why their property basically isn't giving them the 10% that was promised. Well, that's because somebody sold you a lemon, right? In 2 minutes, by looking at that, you know, local market monitor dashboard, you would have said no, right? And not only does it allow you to look at cities, it also allows you to look at zip codes. So you can simply take a look at incoming property, type in the zip code, and it'll immediately tell you what to do. By the time you've looked at 10 or 15 zip codes, you can immediately tell the difference between a clunker and a diamond in the rough, right? All you have to do is 10, and you can do 10 of them in the first first month. So now all of a sudden you're an elite investor. But there's a better tool, an even visually better tool for knowing about neighborhoods, right? Because one, Phoenix is a great city to invest in, but I went and accidentally lived near their jail, which is a mile away from downtown. That area was incredibly dangerous. Hey, that's my son in the background. You can just get up and walk, you know, they can see you. So the message there is great cities have bad neighborhoods. And in 2019, if somebody from 1,000 miles away is trying to sell your property, it's because the people that live in that city that have money don't want to buy there, right? So that's the most important message I want to give you. Why do turnkey properties exist to investors in California when the property's in Dayton, Ohio? Don't you think people have money in Dayton, Ohio? They have plenty of money, right? And there are plenty of choices. They're not buying those properties because there's a problem with them. You can immediately tell there's a problem by subscribing to a service called neighborhoodscout.com. That's one word, neighborhoodscout.com. Go in there. It's like $39 a month. You can buy a subscription and then it gives you a bunch of reports. But what is amazing, Clint, is when you plug in that address, it will give you the micro neighborhood. It'll tell you everything about that neighborhood, ethnicity level, income levels, delinquency levels, rents, you know, what home prices are paying for, what the future forecast for rents is, what the future forecast for home prices is. And basically, you're paying $4 for this, right? The fact that not 90% of the investors in the U.S. use this is stunning to me because they're losing basically tens of thousands of dollars on a deal because they don't want to pay that $4 to Neighborhood Scout. And by the way, I'm not affiliated with them either. I don't make any commissions off of them. I just am enamored as a data scientist by the fact that basically in today's world, the pot of gold is always in front of you, but people are not willing to spend the 2 hours necessary to walk to the pot of gold.
Yeah, you know, you see that because you see all these get rich quick real estate shows and everybody thinks it's easy to invest in real estate. And it's not. I mean, you have to put in some time and do the homework if you want to find success there. Now, I know you've had a lot of success with your multifamily investing and you've done a lot of deals over the years. But is there a difference though between multifamily and single family when you're looking at these markets?
Yeah, so in general, not much of a difference. So we tend to look at them the same way. What we tend to look for is home price increases. We want to see a rapid home price increase because think about it. If today home prices are increasing very rapidly, a certain percentage of the market is going to get priced out of ever buying a home, right? They simply can't stay up. Their income's going up 2%. Home prices are going up 6, 7, 8. So when those home prices are going up, I want to go buy multifamily there because that group that is now priced out of buying a home actually is fairly affluent and they want to live in a nice place. They were going to buy their own house. Now they've realized I can't do it. Well, then they want to rent a nicer unit. And what my job is, I go out and buy old properties that are 70s and 80s, and then I rehab them. And once I rehab them, the property looks nice, the apartment looks nice, and I rent it out to that particular demographic. So I'm looking for home price increases that are very rapid. So places right now that have very rapid home price increases are Phoenix, Orlando, Boise, Idaho, Provo, Utah, Fort Myers in Florida. A number of cities in Florida are there. On my website, I have a corridor of opportunity that's about 250 miles long. And it, you know, Miami is not part of it. Jacksonville is not part of it. It just runs through the center of the state. And, you know, home prices there are projected to grow by a fabulous number in the next, you know, 5 to 10 years. So that's a tremendous corridor of opportunity. There's a second corridor of opportunity in Utah that runs on the north side from Logan to Springville in the south. And that's an incredible corridor of opportunity. St. George, Utah is a great city to invest in. So the beautiful thing is everything that I'm saying is going to be validated by local market monitor. You can go in there and look to see why is it that St. George, Utah has such an incredibly high ranking? Well, the answer is it's becoming one of the top retirement destinations in the US. So you can do Airbnb there, right? You can do hotel type plays there. And then you can do apartments that are short-term rentals there. And you can also do long-term rentals because everything's going up in price. So you can just do a regular long-term rental there. You can even buy single family homes and sit on them for appreciation. So one of the messages I give to people is that cash flow is king. I get that. But in 2019, getting real cash flow is harder than you think.
Okay. So when you say we're taking a multifamily, I mean, one of the things right now that I've seen is that a lot of people say it's overpriced, that the cap rates are so low on the multifamily, you're not going to see any change in that until interest rates go up. What's your take on that?
I agree. I think multifamily is overpriced because the only play today that I believe exists in multifamily is looking at older 60s and 70s product that nobody's ever rehabbed, right? Mm-hmm. Because nobody's ever rehabbed, all of those units are at 800. I can rehab them and bring them up to 1,000. In multifamily, when you rehab older units in a 70s property and make the clubhouse look nicer, you know, repave the parking lot and bump up rents by about $175, that doubles investor money in 5 years, right? So that's a typical template, obviously, you know, for SEC compliance. Those are typical returns that are projected, but people are seeing that. And that I think is the only real play in multifamily today. There isn't any play. You can't buy a property that's 15 years old in multifamily and expect a cash flow because prices are too high. They're priced for perfection.
So what do you think about where the market's going within the next 5 years with interest rates and the economy? I mean, do you have a crystal ball that you've been looking at that you've been factoring into your investing?
My crystal ball stopped working about 7 years ago, but I'm still waiting for it to come back. But my feedback to you is this: don't fight the Federal Reserves of the world because the politicians have not been in charge for a while. The economy is driven by what the Federal Reserve does, regardless of ranting and raving of any given president. Presidents come and go, Congress comes and goes, the Federal Reserve stays. And the feds of the world have determined that whenever the economy starts to look weak, the right approach to take is cut interest rates and do quantitative easing. Go and investigate what this means and you'll realize why I'm so bullish on any risk asset. I'm not bullish on real estate. I'm bullish on all risk assets, stocks, real estate. You know, anything that benefits from bubbles is something that I'm bullish on because every Federal Reserve in the world's their pitch book going forward simply is, you know, cut interest rates and do quantitative easing. You can't possibly find two things that aid real estate prices better than those two. Look at our economy right now. At 3.8% unemployment in the seventh year of a recovery, simply because there was talk of a recession, the Federal Reserve immediately said, we're not going to raise interest rates, right? Mm-hmm. In that environment, how can you be wrong buying risk assets? I know a recession's coming. I think it's either, you know, the last quarter of this year or maybe the first part of next year. But the reason I'm happy about a recession is that recession is immediately going to lead them to cut interest rates, which they're already talking about, right? Read their notes. And it's going to cause more quantitative easing. Quantitative easing is liquidity in the market. Liquidity allows for lower cap rates and higher prices. And so when that recession ends, we're going to go into another cycle of real estate and other risk assets going up. None of this is great news for people who are on Social Security, but it's great news for people that buy risk assets because the financial world is now supporting ever-growing asset prices because that is their solution to every recession. And that was not the case 20 or 30 years ago.
Okay. So when you're doing all this investing and you're looking around different areas of the country and there's only one of you, so how do you, you know, multiply yourself? What do you do to make this job easier? Because people have lives and they have to work right now and they, you know, to qualify for loans. So do you have any tips for them on that?
Sure. So going back to technology, right? So things have changed today. I use very high quality, full-time virtual assistants. They work from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. I only hire computer science graduates with 10 years of experience. I hire them in the Philippines. And then I pay them $6 an hour, and then I hire a whole army of them. I have a massive army of them. And there's a research guy. There's a marketing guy. There's a social media guy. There's a guy that's reaching out to investors. There's a guy that's reaching out to property owners. And I'm able to afford that and get very, very high quality and benefits out of it at $6 an hour. So essentially, I'm outsourcing my research. I'm outsourcing my outreach to investors and to homeowners, allowing me to have 100 hours a day. I tell people that. I have 100 hours a day, and out of which my personal hours are about 10. And 90 of them are people that I've trained for years and years that work my hours. Basically, I can pick up the phone and talk with them. Or I can do what I'm doing right now, which is send them a recording of everything that I want, just blab on, you know, blab and talk to them, and then they turn it into action items. If you're not doing that, you're missing out on the new economy, right? So in the new economy, it is my core belief that for every one U.S. employee, you need two employees outside the U.S. It doesn't matter if you're doing real estate. It doesn't matter what you're doing, right? Maybe that tire shop is an exception because they need people to change tires locally. But for most businesses that involve information technology, if you're not using outsourcing staff that is deeply, deeply connected into your business, you're missing something. And sooner or later, somebody who is doing it is going to take your business away from you.
All right. So is this why they call you the mad scientist of multifamily?
That's right. I'm known for my controversial views on the future of outsourcing and the future of properties. I'm constantly experimenting. What's funny, Clint, is that my most popular experiment is not about multifamily, which both irks me and I get a chuckle at it. So my most popular video, which is on Facebook, has been watched a huge number of times, is actually one where I doubled or more than doubled, tripled the yield of my tomatoes by using three different technologies. So LED lighting, three different kinds of soil, and a certain amount of sun every day. And so I basically ran this experiment live on Facebook, doing videos and telling people what I was doing. And then I showed people the results of, you know, how many tomatoes I ended up in each planter. And one planter ended up with three times as many as the others. So I'm constantly doing experiments, right? I'm not afraid to fail 80% of the time, because the 20% of time that you succeed more than makes up for the 80% of failure. So I'm very, very tied to failure. Failure is the best thing ever.
Wow. You know, this has been a great show, great podcast. I know people that have been listening to it, they're going to want to know more. And if somebody wants to get a hold of you or get more information, because you've got so much information that's out there, where would they go?
So I started with a portal called multifamilyu.com. That's multifamily followed by the letter u.com. And initially, it was just about multifamily. So we'd do like a dozen webinars a year. And then we realized that most people weren't interested in multifamily. Maybe they weren't ready to invest in multifamily. And so we turned it into a real estate portfolio. We still kept the name. So we'd now do 100 webinars a year. In fact, in about 3 hours today, we're going to do a webinar with Bruce Norris, who's the best known economist, real estate economist in California. So we're going to do a webinar, and there's about 700 people signed up for that webinar. So 30,000 people a year come to our site and take, you know, educational events from us, which are deep dive webinars. And we do one a week, sometimes two a week. So check me out at multifamilyu.com. And I'm always available to anybody that wants to talk with me. My name is Neil. That's N-E-A-L, the Irish spelling. So you just go to neil@multifamilyu.com and you can send me an email. I'd be happy to respond to you.
Perfect. I'm going to have that in the show notes as well. So if anybody wants to click on that, I'll take you right to your site. And for those of you who are listening, you know, we actually have an event coming up in August, I believe it is, or September. Check out, it's to be in San Francisco. And yeah, you said you'll come out and speak at the event as well.
I'm going to be speaking there. I'm going to make sure that my audience is there. I mean, all these people in the Bay Area that can benefit from what you're doing. I mean, I've followed you for years. I know what you're doing is incredible value, not just from an asset protection perspective, but the structuring also has other tax benefits. And I've done this stuff, and I can tell you it is incredibly important to do this stuff. And honestly, you want to do it early on, because when you restructure late in your career, the cost is at least 10x, if not 100x, the cost of basically doing it at the beginning. So I am super excited to be there. I'm looking forward to learning all of the new stuff that you guys have come out with.
Well, I'm excited to have you there, because just this little piece of information that you've given us now, I know you're going to expand upon it, and it's going to help every investor that shows up. Because not only you have to protect your assets, you have to know where to invest your assets. And that's what you're going to bring to the event. So I'm really excited about it. And so with that, I don't want to tie you up any longer, because you have that other webinar you're going to be cutting with Bruce today. So thank you for being on. Any last comments you want to make to the listeners?
No, just thank you for having me on the show. And please keep looking at data. That is, data is the oil of the 21st century, people.
Great. Well, Neil, thank you very much. I appreciate it. Look forward to seeing you soon at the upcoming event.
Thanks for having me on the show.
Okay, bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to today's podcast. Show notes for links to everything mentioned in this episode can be found on our website at andersonadvisors.com/podcast. Be sure you subscribe to our podcast. And if you are already a subscriber, please provide us a review of what you thought of this episode.